Kia ora. Welcome to Focus on Politics. I'm Jo Moyer. The week started on Sunday night. A shocking poll, so devastating, the National Party had put out a press release decrying its rogueness before NewsHub had even finished reporting the results. The NewsHub Read Research poll began surveying punters 2 days after Judith Collins took over and stayed in the field till the end of last week. It made sobering reading for the new leader, National at just over 25%, while Labour on nearly 61%. The Greens would make it back too, with 5.7% support. ACT was on 3.3% and New Zealand First wallowing at just 2%. On those numbers, Labour would be able to comfortably govern alone with 77, yes, 77 MPs. National would have just 32. But Judith Collins wasn't having a bar of it.
I don't believe it at all. I think it's entirely out of kilter. It's absolutely opposite to what we're hearing in the electorate. The poll itself just doesn't go anywhere near where our polling is. The polling itself is clearly wrong.
Her deputy, Gerry Brownlee, was singing from the same song sheet.
I think it's one of those 1 in 20 polls that gets it wrong. We'll just carry on, no problem at all.
One of the big bugbears of National MPs in months gone by is the lack of internal polling made available to the caucus. Media regularly got told under Simon Bridges' tenure that polling wasn't forthcoming, and it was indeed bad polling earlier this year that ultimately led to the rolling of Mr Bridges and the leadership takeover by Todd Muller and Nikki Kaye. So on Tuesday, when National MPs met at their caucus meeting, it wasn't too surprising they leaked the details to media afterwards, especially when the NewsHub poll had been so low and the internal numbers were much higher. RNZ understands Tuesday's numbers had Labour just shy of 50, National on 36, the Greens on 6, and New Zealand First and ACT on 3. That narrative is much more comfortable for National, and with News Colmar Brunton was also out in the field, it was a case of waiting until Thursday to see whether their internals were on the money or completely out of step. But first, there was a stream of announcements on Wednesday keeping all political parties in the spotlight. Judith Collins headed to Lower Hutt to announce the party's business start scheme. The catch? Most of it would come from New Zealanders' own KiwiSaver funds. It's been designed to help offset the economic damage wrought by COVID, with thousands of people finding themselves out of work and looking for ways they can once again start earning money for themselves. Under the scheme, recipients would be able to access $20,000 of their own money from their KiwiSaver account to help get the business going, a $1,000 voucher to get financial advice, and at least $10,000 in tax credits. Not long after, the government announced it would soon begin charging some New Zealanders for managed isolation. People returning to New Zealand for short-term trips or who leave after planned regulations come into force will have to stump up $3,100 for their managed isolation, but Kiwis headed home permanently will not. People would get exemptions from paying for managed isolation under designated situations, coming home for a funeral or to see sick or dying relatives, for example. Here's Morning Report's Susie Ferguson speaking to the Minister in Charge, Megan Woods.
People will not know, will they, until they arrive back in the country and may be faced with a bill, because you don't get to know ahead of time whether you're going to get your exemption or not.
Oh, look, that is, and no one has said that is the case. I mean, people will be able to have those conversations ahead of time. We're also putting...
So people will know ahead of time whether they're going to get an exemption. How fast is that process going to be? Because clearly, if you're coming back to visit a very sick relative, you might not have many days in hand.
Well, it will need to be as quick as actually what the exemptions process would have to be at the other end. Because bear in mind that if you're coming back to visit a sick or a dying relative, there is still a requirement to do 14 days of managed isolation. That we do have an exemptions process, which is around exceptional circumstances there. And that is very quick turnaround on the decision. So we're making those kind of decisions and we're making them quickly already. So it would be added onto that system.
What happens if people just don't pay the bill?
Well, I mean, one of the things that we have factored in when we looked in and looked at all the options around the policy is the fact that there is going to be some people who can't or pay the bill or bad debt situations that you're talking about. So what we looked at when we looked about sort of a blanket fee was under some scenarios only being able to collect around $125 million because of the range of the groupings of families that were coming in.
But are you going to send debt collectors after people, Minister?
No, what I was going to finish saying there is that the cost of that collection would be around $33 million because, of course, there is always a cost of people not paying bills. So the modelling we have done has taken into account some bad debt.
OK, so you are going to send debt collectors after people if they don't stump up?
Well, bad debt being bills that aren't paid, of course. When someone incurs a charge and they don't pay it, there are attempts for that bill to be paid, and that's not just in this circumstance, that's life.
New Zealand First leader Winston Peters came out slamming the regime, labelling it a dreadful, grossly unfair system that will affect a minuscule amount of people.
5 million New Zealanders deserve better than that, and I believe the mass majority of the 1 million capital coming home from offshore back to New Zealand, and the mass majority of them will be happy to pay.
While the coalition partner agreed to support the legislation, it's invoked the agree to disagree provision in its agreement with Labor to make a point. And Mr. Peters went on to accuse Labor and the Greens of electioneering by trying to grab votes from New Zealanders overseas. Unsurprisingly, Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern rejected that.
We've made a decision here which factors in a number of legal issues we needed to take into account, and this is also, I think, a good balance. It means that we will be sending a message to New Zealanders that if they have the choice about, for instance, taking a holiday, then they should pay the costs of that.
Ultimately, it was a win for the Greens, who were never prepared to support a universal policy, something New Zealand First and National both believe should happen. National leader Judith Collins says the policy is a total failure and she would move to charge all returning New Zealanders if elected. She said the government should be ashamed of themselves.
Oh, what a load of nonsense, honestly. They say they're going to get about $9 to $10 million back, and it's going to cost New Zealanders close to $500 million. I just think it's the sort of policy you have when you don't actually want to have a policy.
Legislation will be passed under urgency next week and the regime will kick in over the next 2 to 3 weeks. Wednesday also saw the long and comprehensive review of the Resource Management Act delivered at Parliament. Environment Minister David Parker last year ordered a top-level panel led by Tony Randerson QC to devise a solution. And they came back with rip it up and start again. The panel proposed the law be replaced with 2 separate pieces of legislation. One dealing with planning, the Strategic Planning Act, and one dealing with environmental protections, the Natural and Built Environments Act. It's too close to the election for any changes to be made now, so parties will campaign this year on what they'd like to happen. At this point, though, Labor, National, New Zealand First, and the Greens are all in broad agreement, and the ACT Party wants change too. Not to go a day without a little bit of scandal, it was National's Palmerston North candidate, 18-year-old William Wood, under fire. Only the day before, he'd been paraded around beside Ms. Collins on the campaign trail. On Wednesday, a photo surfaced, showing the boy appearing to impersonate Adolf Hitler. He has a white, painted-on moustache and a Nazi salute. In a statement, William Wood said the photo had been taken 4 years ago, when he was just 14. It was an error, he said, and he apologised for any offence. This was Ms. Collins' take on the whole thing when speaking to Corin Dan on Morning Report.
Now, the issue of William Wood and the Nazi photo, what do you make of that? Have you spoken to him about that?
I haven't bothered to speak to him about that. Honestly, he was 14 years old. He's already apologised. I thought that showed immense maturity at the age of 18 to think, well, I should apologise for that. It was a bit of a joke, and he had a milk moustache or whatever. I mean, for goodness sake, and pretending he was, you know, dressed up or whatever. I mean, he was 14. I mean, Corin, I don't know about you. I'm sure you were perfect at 14. I'm not sure I was.
No, fair enough. We'll cut him some slack.
Roll on Wednesday night, and things got heated in the debating chamber. It was members' night, and National MP David Carter's bill to repeal the waka jumping legislation had been drawn. And boy, oh boy, New Zealand First wasn't happy about it. This was just the first reading, and it won't go any further before the election. But if it passes all stages eventually, it would unravel the work done by the government to ensure MPs who quit their party are made to leave Parliament. Just over 2 years ago, Parliament passed the controversial waka jumping legislation after the Green Party swallowed a ginormous rat, voting in favour of something they've spent decades opposing. The Electoral Integrity Amendment Bill, as it's formally known, was born out of the Labour New Zealand First coalition deal. It requires MPs who quit or are expelled from a political party to leave Parliament then and there. On Wednesday night, the Greens threw their support behind a bill to repeal it, enraging New Zealand First. Winston Peters says the Greens are breaking their end of the deal.
They've signed up to the coalition agreement on this matter for 3 years. That term does not finish until the 19th of September.
He says the Greens can't be trusted and voters should remember that on September 19.
You cannot possibly be going forward to the years 2020-23 contemplating a party that can't keep its word.
But the Greens insist they've worked in good faith with Labour and New Zealand First. Here's what James Shaw had to say when I spoke to him about the bill and Winston Peters calling his party untrustworthy.
Well, the repeal bill that's just come up as a members' bill, and neither the confidence and supply agreement that we have with the Labour Party nor the coalition agreement mentions anything about that.
When Winston Peters says that this situation is nothing like the light rail situation, which at the time, bear in mind, you accused them of not keeping to their coalition deal, what's the difference here?
Well, let me put it this way. I would say that in recent times we have learned that it is the letter of the agreement rather than the spirit of the agreement that's what counts when it comes to New Zealand First. And so when it comes to the repeal of the party hopping bill, I would say that we have observed exactly the letter of our agreement with the government.
So it passed, but that doesn't mean you have to stick to it being passed.
That's correct. We said that we would support their original legislation in. We did that, in spite of the fact that it's clearly against a long-standing position of ours. We never said and never made any commitment that if the repeal bill came before the House that we wouldn't also support that.
Was this always the plan, or is it just convenient that it's come up?
It's actually a pure coincidence. I didn't even know that David Carter had this bill in the tin until it had gotten drawn the other day.
Are you just kind of throwing New Zealand First games back at them?
No, we're acting in consistently with our policy. Like I said, we've had a long-standing position over 20 years. It's been very well articulated by previous leaders of the Green Party against party-hopping legislation. We did agree once off to support it in order to facilitate the coalition agreement between New Zealand First and the Labour Party, but we never agreed that we wouldn't vote to repeal it if that came up, and it did come up.
Given the policies that the Green Party have seen fall over because of intervention from New Zealand First, do you think it's a bit hypocritical for Winston Peters to suggest you're not trustworthy?
Look, let me put it this way. I think it's a bit rich for Winston to suggest that we're not trustworthy when, in fact, they are the ones who have been entirely slippery with the interpretation of our confidence and supply agreement.
Do you think that you're playing the same game as him now?
Oh, well, I learn from the master.
Then the One News Colmar Brunton poll finally arrived. And while it was anything but great news for National, Judith Collins was seeing the bright side of life. National was on 32, down 6 points on the last poll, when Todd Muller was still leader. And Labour could once again govern alone, up 3-53. ACT was winning, hitting 5 points for the first time in 17 years in this poll. And while the Greens hung on at 5, New Zealand First would be gone on 2. I spoke with Susie Ferguson on Morning Report about where to from here. It's a time to get away from the drama, the scandal, the resignations. We've had plenty of it, and I think, to be honest, people are ready to actually just start talking about policy. Labour has been very happy to sort of trade on its COVID recovery and response up until this point. Whenever Jacinda Ardern's asked about, you know, where to from here, she keeps coming back to the, well, we've still got to govern, we've got to deal with COVID. That's all very well and good, but what people want to see with the campaign trail and with an election as well is what things are going to look like later. So we really need to start to see some detailed policy from Labour. We just haven't really seen a lot at this point. And, yeah, that's kind of what the public will be wanting to see. In terms of the Nats, you know, Nationals had a lot of problems. They've had a pretty difficult period, which Judith Collins is pretty blunt about. In terms of their sort of organisational, logistical stuff, it's been quite messy. It's been on the fly. There's been a lot of staff changes, so you can kind of attribute some of that to that. But, you know, they just need to kind of pick themselves up, change the narrative, and get some sort of new, inspiring policy out there. So far, what we have seen has been re-announcements, roads, and it's just kind of a bit ugh. So, you know, they just need to sort of pick themselves up and find something new to talk about. Really, all the parties just need to get through the next week of Parliament. You know, one day is a lifetime at the moment, so let's just, like, hold on and get through the next week in the House with no drama, no more resignations, and hit that campaign trail. And, you know, the race really will be on at that point. When COVID-19 hit, the election seemed like a lifetime away. But now, there is just 7 weeks to go. That's Focus on Politics. I'm Jo Moyer. Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to listen to this program again, head to rnz.co.nz/focusonpolitics. Mā te wā. Mm.